Mormons. I'm Mandy.
I'm Erica, and I've never been a Mormon.
Yay!
Good for you, Erica. You've lived your whole life in Utah and never been a Mormon.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, man, that actually sounds really sad when you put it like that.
Is this your first family home evening officially?
It is kind of officially my first family home evening. I hung out very, very drunk on Lori and Courtney do some sort of talk show episode and might have like interjected excitedly a couple of times as I woke up from my drunken stupor. But this is pretty much my, like, if that was a floating loss of your virginity, this is like actual penetration.
Yeah, we've actually we have this little kind of format that we follow, and I've actually repented for the previous two episodes we've recorded at how drunk I was on that recording, because it was just, most of it was just unusable and it was all my fault. So once again, I'll apologize for that. And now I'm a grown up and I only will max out at one bottle of wine.
Oh, aww. You're so cute.
Shut up, Charlotte. what are you drinking this evening, Erica?
Right now I'm drinking like the house box red. I started out with my partner he's one of those Gen Xers who makes his own homebrew, and he made something called Golden Monkey, and the alcohol level is just ridiculous because he could have put a bunch of honey and stuff in it. So it's a murdering large bottle of beer. And now I'm on to the wine, and I might have had an edible. But I wouldn't say that publicly. So
wait, you might have had what? I think we lost a little bit of that.
An edible.
Oh.
Yes.
Got it. That's legal now.
Well,
it is not in Utah.
It is. Somebody might have to drive to one of the many neighboring states where it is legal and bring it home and hoard it. But I don't know anybody who does that. But if I did, is a great idea.
I'm pretty sure if you're on a podcast across state lines with a state that it's legal, I'm pretty sure it's okay.
it's fine.
Sure.
That is.
It's like the FCC regulations or something.
Oh, exactly.
Pump up the volume, baby.
Or like your pirate boat. It's
the FCC something.
The pirate radio boat.
Yes. Totally.
Do you have a boat that we could do pirate radio on?
We're not that rich yet.
It's funny, we were actually at the harbor earlier today it was our friend's birthday, and it's Dana Point Harbor, where it's just so beautiful there, and there's all these gorgeous boats, and we're having all these daydreams about getting on a boat and having a vacation, but there was literally, not to bring it down right at the beginning of the show, but there was literally, what would you say, 20 at least Trump flags?
75 goddamn Trump flags.
Flying out there, and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
You want
to advertise
that you
don't. To be fair, if you have enough excess money to own a boat, you're going to be voting Trump because he only takes care of people who have excess money.
And apparently no values. So,
well, yeah, absolutely.
And racists.
And racists.
But I mean, just off the bat.
The first move today is to take away the right for gay marriage for everybody. So that's exciting.
I saw that Supreme Court. Not good.
Yep.
It's not good.
Yeah. Sorry. I brought it right down, way down.
So
right
what
at the
I'm
beginning.
Drinking is 19.
No, speak into the mic, Charlotte. Our listeners want to hear.
I'm drinking a 19 Crimes, which is normally very delicious red blend. This, however, is a Cali red, which has Snoop Dogg's face on it, which is why I bought two bottles without tasting. I'm like, oh, Snoop Dogg, I'll pay $12 for you. Game on. It's not great.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm drinking it regardless because I don't like to waste.
I heard it wasn't great, which is why I'm drinking a Rodney Strong cab from Alexander Valley.
I wish I was drinking your Rodney Strong.
You know what? You don't have, just because you opened it,
listen,
you don't have to drink it.
I don't like wasting.
And I got also would like to say I got a fancy new wine glass that's specifically made to drink Cabernets. It's got a very wide bottom and kind of a fluted little like lip.
Ooh,
so that it gets the most air to surface ratio.
It's going to be really sad when it breaks. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to put negativity out there.
Charlotte's drunk. She's kicked off the podcast.
It's a wine glass. They fucking break and it was expensive.
So back to my fun story about my new toy that I just got and I'm just opening and trying for the first time.
It does. It aerates the wine. It's wonderful.
It has a big bowl.
You can be really careful with it.
You can smell it as you're drinking. It's wonderful.
It has a wide bottom, like many wonderful people, and a fluted lip, like many wonderful people. I'm reminded of myself, so I'm happy with your choice, and I think you should be validated for it.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, Erica. I'm happy with my choice as well.
I'm just jealous, so.
Okay. I was going to say, we should actually tell everybody how we know each other, Erica. We should start with the story of where it all began.
Oh, okay. Yes, go ahead.
I know you from my sister Mandy.
And so, Erica, you are my longest friend, my longest time friend, my longest friendship. I've known you since we were in the eighth grade, and we met at Mount Logan Middle School, where we both went to school. And from my memory, you tell me if this is how you remember it. From my memory, there was a talent show going on in the eighth grade.
Shocker. And
there's this girl, Erica, up on stage singing a Bon Jovi song.
I was gonna say My Heart Will Go On.
No, I think it was Living on a Prayer.
I guess this time you're really leaving. That one.
I sang
that one, and I sang White Lion When the Children Cry at another one. I'm like one of the few people I know who was like, oh yeah, no, middle school was awesome, because everybody found out I was in theater when I was in seventh grade. They found out I was an actor and I had been doing shows at the university and I had been in a commercial and things like that. And mm-hmm. so all of a sudden I was like local small town, mm-hmm. oddly famous. And then I did some talent shows and I was just full of my damn self, man. I was really full of myself, but it was an exciting time. Yes, I do remember that actually though.
And it was well-deserved. It wasn't just like you were walking around like, oh, I'm the shit. You just were the shit and you knew it, but you weren't like,
I would have hated you because I would have been jealous. I'm so glad I got to know you later in life when I couldn't feel like I'm still jealous of you for being amazing. But
thank you.
It doesn't hold me back now.
Well, listen, this is what I saw you on the stage. I saw you sing that. It was the Bon Jovi song that clenched it for me. I didn't even remember the other two. But I was like, that girl. And obviously, in case the world you didn't know, Erica's got a set of fucking pipes to die for. Girl can sing. And I was like, who is this girl? I want her to be my friend. And we had some mutual friends. And then just, you know, we started hanging out. And turns out we had a lot in common. And I think we slowly started to realize we had the same sick, deviant personality.
You had a leather jacket. And you were like the first rocker chick. You know, you sometimes dress like a rocker chick. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I am such a... It was very exciting to be cool because I grew up non-Mormon in Utah, which meant that I was like ostracized in elementary school.
You know, it's funny, that whole rocker thing, that was a complete costume for me. Like we were just telling stories about the year before that. I was in the seventh grade and I was down here in California, and I would do anything I could to be invisible so that people wouldn't look at me, because I was so awkward and such a nerd and I had no friends at all. So going to Logan was kind of like a chance to reinvent myself, and I just pulled that image because I thought that was cool and I was like, this is what I'm gonna do, because I could just start over. So it's funny that like you, that your perspective of that was my fucking bullshit work.
That was it's like
that was kind of what I did in middle school too, though. Because like that, do you remember? You know who Corey Feldman is? Why am I asking you? You have like tattoo.
Dude, Charlotte.
Wait, who?
Charlotte saw Corey Feldman live.
And the Angels.
So
yes,
Corey
I did.
Feldman.
Yes,
wore
I
black
did.
When we were in Sorry, seventh go on. Grade. He pledged to wear black for a full year to bring attention to apartheid in South Africa. And I was like, oh my God, that is the coolest thing. I am also wearing black. And so I tried on goth. I just liked the music a little bit, but it was like, the clothes are awesome. I can have a corset. And I didn't wear corsets at the time, but
right.
Yeah, I was pretty.
But you didn't wear corsets.
I did. Oh. Hot Topic was very popular when I was in middle school. So, and I let my friends wear it, and we all had a very good time looking ridiculous.
Whatever. I wear corsets now.
No, I do it now, but without irony. Like, when I was in middle school and, like, very beginning of high school, you're right. You wore it as kind of a costume almost. Like, I would like to think that I didn't, but I totally did.
Well, let me just say, Erica, I'm so fucking happy that we're still friends, and I love you so much, and I'm so glad that you came on the podcast.
Yay!
It's exciting.
Somebody was telling a story yesterday of, like, it was like their grandma. Oh, it was that girl we were at the party with. She was like, oh, I got to go talk to my grandma. She was saying, like, her grandma had just sent a letter in the mail to her friend because she was still friends with her, like, little group from high school. She was like, you know, got the return post that was like, oh, your friend's deceased. And she didn't know, like, they were still corresponding the old way or whatever. And I was like, that's going to be me and Erica. We're going to be the last two against alive.
She's against all odds.
I know.
Yes, I agree with that. I still have, I when I was moving some stuff around, I found, like, a bunch of our trippy letters where we're like, hi, I'm on acid, so I'm going to write in a circle for 2 hours. Here you go. And they're already in this, like, real 90s way, like real Lisa Left Eye Lopez 90s way.
Totally.
Groove is in the heart, like, all over the place. Yeah, it's very
1000% delight.
Pretty great platform shoes and the whole business.
The 90s were something else, but we really had the 80s to go on. We did. Well, you and I.
We're the very, like, tail end of Gen X. So we have that, like, cynicism and hatred in our hearts and not giving a shit about things, but we're also not afraid of computers. So that's not afraid of technology. Right. Really?
Best of all worlds. It's like, really.
We'll know sooner when either one of us dies. We won't have to wait for the mail.
You'll
to come
see it on
via
Friday.
The, like, post office.
Email came in. Turns out Mandy kicked it.
Hey, you know what? We're all going to die. Eventually, might as well, you know, have fun with it now.
Mandy will be deceased from bungee cord jumping off of a bridge in Nepal. And I'll be the one who writes you the email. You're welcome.
I'm sorry I didn't merit a fucking phone call, Charlotte.
To whom it may concern. Dear Miss Erica, thank you for your time
or
reading this letter.
My name. Hello, Erica. We are so happy to let you know.
Dear Miss Shaka McLean.
I hope we do our Christmas album, though. I'm not gonna lie.
We have to do it.
No, you have to.
When it gets a little closer to the season, we do have to share with the world our Christmas album that we made in high school. And I think now that we've grown older and wiser and have a little more experience, we should record B-sides and we'll create brand new content and it'll be even better than our original content.
That never happens. Your second album's not as good as your first.
Have you met Erica?
Once.
No, I'm just kidding. Again. What? I thought you had two sisters. Who's this California chick?
I'm going to take us off on a slight tangent. I think now might be a really good time to hear a word from our sponsor.
Let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Hey there again, girlfriends. Hopefully you've had the opportunity to check out our feminine hygiene line, Temple Twat. Our goal is to help keep your hole holy. I'm here to share with you our brand new product, Disappointment Diaper. Heavenly Father and I know that each time you give your husband the red rain check, that's a missed month of creating a new soul for your sect, the potential for a new prophet, a future bride for Uncle Hollis. Disappointment Diaper is like an adult diaper, only about 4 times the size. Worn under your garments, Disappointment Diaper is meant to puff out, letting all of your sister wives and fellow community members know that you failed at furthering the family this month. At the end of the week, when you're done simmering that spicy red clam sauce, chuck Disappointment Diaper in the wash. Hopefully you won't need it next month, but it's there just in case. So wash out those hip lips and give the mister another swing at the squish mitten. Disappointment Diaper from Temple Twat, helping to keep that hole holy.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 10% off your first purchase of Disappointment Diaper with the promo code Death Valley. That's 10% off your first purchase of Disappointment Diaper with the promo code Death Valley at checkout.
Do we thank our sponsors?
We should thank our sponsors.
We should thank our sponsors. Sponsors, sure.
Executive genius, creative director, Courtney.
That was brilliant.
She's got all the ideas.
I just want to say, though, I'm an actor, and it's been really hard to get work right now during COVID. So if you want any extra voiceover stuff, Courtney, you have my number.
Yeah. Girl, be prepared to be overwhelmed with work.
We're not going to pay you.
We're not paying you.
I don't need to be paid. It's like Trump. I just need the clap. Not the clap, but like the clapping. Not a sexually transmitted disease that, you know, but like the clapping, the applause. That's what I need.
All right. I've been threatening our listeners to tell stories of you and I in high school and some of the more, I don't want to say problematic, but as my dad would say, some of the more dangerous choices we've made in our lives. I don't know if I told you this, Erica, but I had to tell my, so my dad reached out to me. We were like four episodes into this. My dad reached out to me. He's like, what's this podcast you and Charlotte are doing? What's this about? And I was like, I was just like, I got to just tell him. I was like, I don't think you'd like it. Basically, me and Charlotte get drunk and we talk about stupid shit we've done. You know, we talk about taking acid and stuff. And he's like, you took acid? And I was like, once or twice. And he said, that sounds dangerous. And I was like, don't worry, Dad. It's no. fine. I was like, but don't listen to it. I don't think you'd like it. So at 45 years old, I had to admit to my dad finally that I'd taken LSD. So right. We've broken through a barrier.
Whereas the first time I took LSD, my parents babysat me and my boyfriend. So... I was a gentleman for a while, and I can't remember where we got it. Probably from you. Wherever we got it, we decided to go back to my house, and I told my parents because my parents were very open people. And I feel really lucky with that they were a little bit hippies and realized that the best way to stop your child from being a libertarian is to make them have an acid trip. So they realized that other people exist and have feelings. So they said, yeah, that was a good idea. And I want to say, I think I was 16 or 17. I think I was 16. So we started at my parents' house and we took it. And my dad did cartwheels in the backyard for us. And they were waving their hands all around to try to give us tracers. And then they drove us to Logan Zoo. Oh, except for the fact that Logan Zoo is a really sad place. And that was the first time that I became a vegetarian because the animals were talking to us about how traumatized they were being in the zoo and how sad they were. And so I just remember Cam and I crying and crying, like snot running down our faces in the zoo, and then going to a payphone and having my dad pick up and bring us back home.
That's so sad. That's horrible and also awesome that your dad came and picked you up and that you could tell, like, Dad,
my parents have turned pretty open about that whole business. So in fact, like, my house became a very safe place to experience acid.
Let me tell Erica, I want to tell you real quick. I want to tell you my favorite memory of taking drugs at your house, at your parents' house. And because I want to hear if you and I have the same perspective on it. There have been a few times, so the stories might be running together, but we always used to hang out in your garage and smoke cigarettes. That's where all the magic happened. That's where we wrote our album.
Yep, sitting on my dad's
Christmas album.
The Christmas album.
Ribbling it out and singing very loudly. Yes.
Yeah. And I think this is the first time, because I have a lot of stories that are running through my mind. And I feel like this time in particular that I'm thinking of is the first time, simply because you and I were both like a little bit like, oh shit, like we have to hide it from your parents. Yes. Like they're they're we can't let them know that we've taken acid, right? Does that sound familiar?
And even though they knew that I had taken it before, they were still like, this is a very special thing and it's not a recreational thing and you need to have a spiritual experience. And yes, crying and barfing is the right thing to do because you're going to see God. So, so yeah, they were a little bit like that sometimes. Yeah.
So this is, and this memory is burned into my brain until the day I die. So we're sitting out in this, in the garage, smoking cigarettes, menthol cigarettes, and your father, rest in peace. I love that man so much. Your father comes out and he has his hands behind his back and we're sitting there like, we all of a sudden like straighten up and we're like, oh shit, your dad's here. Like, act sober. And he's just looking at us and he doesn't say anything. And then he like steps down the steps, you know, and kind of like goes out into the middle of the garage and then turns to face us. And we're both just silent. We're not saying a word. We're just like, act sober, act sober, act sober. And then he pulls his arms out from behind his back and he's holding three oranges.
Yes, you have it exactly right.
Have I got it right so far? And at this point, you and I are just like looking at each other like, what fucking timeline are we in? What's happening right now? What do we do? And your dad just kind of stands there for a minute and then wordlessly like just starts juggling those oranges.
That's just quite serious because he was a very serious looking individual. Uh-huh. Yes, juggling oranges.
And then, I don't know, I felt like an eternity that went on. But after like a certain amount of time, he was kind of starting to do some footwork and some foot moves while he was kind of dancing and juggling. And at that point, we had figured out that the jig was up and they knew what we were doing.
It took a minute. It was like, is this some serious, is this a juggling test about World War II? Like, what's happening?
Exactly.
Oh my God, I think that just described acid trips in general.
Oh, but man, like that was the one. We went on to have many fun acid trips at that house. Like we could talk for hours and hours and hours. Make this, it would be like a 5-hour podcast if we told all the stories. But that set the tone because we were like, you know, oh, we're not as smart as we fucking think we are. And two, your parents are fucking cool as shit and they want us to have a good time and they also want us to be safe and they want us to be like comfortable.
They would do a lot of interesting things to entertain us. Playing movies. The thing that I remember, and I remember Val was there and I think James, I want to say, and I think Tammy might have been there. But they had a Arnold Schwarzenegger doll from Predator. There we go. Thank you.
Predator.
From Predator. And so this is like a 12-inch, 13-inch doll. And then there's a 13-inch, 14-inch Godzilla that actually walks and roars and spits fire because you pour oil into him. It's a very flammable boy, but they didn't give a shit about children in the 80s and 90s. And so they sold that. Right. I have it in my basement.
Oh my God, I remember this.
We loaded some oil in it just like while we were maybe doing acid in our basement and just to see what happened. And it scared the fuck out of my cat. I didn't see my cat for 2 days. It just like, I know.
God, you're lucky you didn't burn your house down.
My jaw literally dropped. I have nothing to say because I'm just in awe. So
they did some sort of like fighting dumb show, like a Punch and Judy kind of show. There was a window into my house from the garage, like an open window in the door, not open window, but a glass window. And so through that little window, they do all these shows and puppet shows. And I think Schwarzenegger actually won in the
puppet
end
shows.
And beat Godzilla. So, which is too bad because Godzilla is the god of monsters.
Always.
And Schwarzenegger is just the god of cigars. I also remember you talking my father into taking us to McDonald's. And food had never been a thing that I thought would be an okay thing to have when you were on acid. It was like, nope, that's that seems that's That's too many sensations. And so you talked us into going to McDonald's, and I'm a vegetarian now because I had cried with a goat. So on acid, so I couldn't eat meat, but we went to McDonald's and we got French fries and chocolate milkshakes, and dipped the French fries into the chocolate milkshake, and I thought I had died and gone to taste bud nirvana, because that thank you. I introduced my
You're own welcome.
Child to that just recently, and it's like that moment in Ratatouille when all the flavors are like having a little dance. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that happened in my head.
I feel like we got one more story that we could contribute to this episode. Also, I also think we should do multiple stories, because there's no way that you and I could fit all of the fucking great shit we've done into one episode.
It's been 30 some odd years. Oh, that.
Mm-hmm. Well, how old are you in the 12th grade?
12,
13. 12, 13. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, my
more than 30
God.
Years.
Oh.
A few more than 30.
That feels weird, but right, but weird.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Old as fuck.
Shut the fuck up, Charlotte.
Charlotte's a baby. Every time she's talking, and we were listening to Nine Inch Nails, I'm like, uh-huh, fuck you. I was in high school when that happened. Shut up. Okay, so we have time for one more story. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, we could tell a cabin story. Oh, let's tell the story about the story that we tried to tell when I was too drunk and I had to ditch the audio. Let's tell the story of that time that we went up Logan Canyon camping and almost lit the entire canyon
on
fire.
Yes, and I actually remembered another detail about that.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. I'm like, let's start from the beginning. How the fuck did we get there? What were we doing? I'm pretty sure we were on acid.
And it was like a big group. There were like three or four different cars up there. And Allie was up there for sure. And Paul and... I always think that Val and James were there, but I might be wrong.
And Jeremy, I feel like everybody only knows him by his last name, but
so
I'm
you
not
can just
allowed
call
to say
him
his last name. But Jeremy, oh yes, Jer, the cute little blonde skater boy that I loved,
and
he was there.
And I was up there with Cam.
Jer.
I was up there with Cameron, and so that was the detail that I just remembered. And there were a few more people up there, and I want to think like that Mindy and Melissa were there, and so it was a bunch of people camping, and we were in a grove. We were in one of the campsites that I want to say were around like First Dam, or was it by the springs? Okay.
Yes,
so it
that
was
sounds
up in,
right.
In those campsites, and somebody had made the biggest, and there, this was a place where you could gather your own wood. A lot of places won't let you do that here now, but you could gather wood from the forest that surrounded you, and this fire was gigantic.
That's right. It was a big ring to begin with. It was a big fire pit
and
to begin
so
with.
So it was filled, and the fire, somebody had either lighter fluid or gasoline with them. And I want to say
it was lighter
and
fluid.
I want to say that might have been the person I was dating at the time had it, because he had a flip lighter. He had an old style Zippo. So it might have been his.
Yeah, he did.
People decided to add that to the fire, and the fire got out of control.
And so we I don't remember who was doing it, but somebody in the group started just going crazy with the brush and stuff from around the fire, like the dead leaves and stuff. I want to say it was probably like late summer, and just throwing all this fuel on the fire. And then all of a sudden people started throwing pallets on the fire. And then all of a sudden the lighter fluid started going on the fire.
Make it bigger.
And it was to the point where it was so huge that there was a, you know, like a living evergreen tree, whatever the main tree is that grows in that part of the country. But it was, And it was far. I mean, the lowest tree branches were pretty far up there because it's a campground. But the flames of this bonfire were licking and catching on the bottom of this tree that it was under.
Yes.
Not good.
It was awful.
No, it was not good.
No,
and even in our like fucked up acid state, at least a few of us, me and Erica included, were like, we have to fucking do something about this. Like, we're going to burn the canyon now.
Yeah. too.
We're gonna die while the rest of it burns around us. It was
disrespectful to the fucking woods, and I just remembered being so mad about it.
Right.
Yes. So yeah, angry acid girl and many other angry acid people. But we didn't have, there was a river around there, but it's like we couldn't get water to it to get that fire down.
I don't even know if we could have if we were sober and it had been the middle of the day. I don't know if it was close enough. And also, let me point out too that like we grew up at the base of that mountain canyon. Like we are not strangers to how to survive in the woods, you know, no matter what season it is. Like we can pretty much figure it out. You know, so the fact that this was going on and we knew it was dangerous and that we knew there was water, but we couldn't get to it. You know, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like one of us decided or a few of us decided to leave and go try to get to a phone.
Yes.
To try to call the fire department.
Yes, absolutely.
Did that happen?
And I want to say that it was like Paul and Alan to drive. That's to smart. The, there was a payphone right at the mouth of Logan Canyon at the little like rest stop that was right there. And that was the closest phone. Some of us had pagers. I was one of them. So you could text boobless to me and so I could look like a drug dealer. But nobody, there were no cell phones.
Yeah, it was really early.
It wasn't cell phone time. It was 1992. It was pre-cell really phone time. Yeah, so they didn't make it out of there. And actually, I think what happened is they walked back from where Paul or Alan parked the car.
Kind of remember like trying to pick up dirt and people throwing dirt on the fire, but the fire was so massive that it didn't matter. Like there's nothing we could do. And I think we were just honestly, I think what it boils down to is we were just super fucking lucky that that tree didn't actually ignite because it was a living green tree.
Right.
But it had started to, like the needles had started to ignite. The branches had started to ignite. We're just lucky it didn't catch, I think.
But
honestly.
I mean,
that makes sense.
Also, you have a bunch of fucked up, very emotional, like on drugs people. And I think we like, secreted that shit out. I think we wished for that fire to go down hard enough.
Do you know what else Erica, you know what else I remember about that? And actually, this is even more memorable to me than the actual fire itself. Say, I remember, like, I really was totally, like, enamored with Jer, and I was making out with him, and I was, like, super excited for that to be happening because I had liked him for so long. And we were actually under somebody's truck, like on the ground for the making out. That just, I just remembered that. But I would say at one point in the night, I was on the hood of the car with somebody and we were looking up at the stars like you do. Cause we loved, you know, there's beautiful sky watching out there. And all of a sudden, so you've got this like vast expanse of sky above you, starry sky. And then there's like a black strip in the middle of it. And it's like moving across the sky. So it's just like almost like a, I don't even know how to explain it, but like a black strip of the stars that you can't see. And then this, it's moving. So it's like a black cloud, maybe. It's moving across the sky.
Actually.
Do you remember that at all? Oh, thank God. Because I was just like, was I just like super high? And then it wasn't even that. It was like, once it got close enough to us in the, you could see it in the sky coming for us. And then once it actually got to us, like you could see it in the campground. It was like a thick, dark cloud and it was very narrow and cold and it just moved through us and kept going.
But it was weighty too. Yeah. And it just felt weird and it went right through. But what it did though is the fire died down. And then it was colder there. And that's the one thing I remember is like the whole campsite got very cold.
The alien saved you. It did. It got very cold. Yeah. It's like, if you could imagine from my memory, which was granted a psychedelically fueled acid memory.
Right.
If you could imagine like what a wall of fog would look like imagine a 10-foot wide wall up to the stars of black fog, black cold fog that's just moving in a
unnatural
kind of way over you, over your campsite. And then it's like going right to left. And then, you know, there's an end to it. And then once the end comes, like you can see the stars again. And you can see everything again. And it's not like while you're in the middle of it, everything is weird. And it's darker and it's colder and you can't see the stars above you. But it's a very finite, like, chunk of space. I don't know how to explain it. But
that's why I never lived in Utah, man.
That shit was fucking weird. But she's right. The fire, that maybe that's how the fire went down. Maybe it was just like a weird
cloud. I don't know if it was weird, but it was, it's one of those, you know, and like a lot of us were very, I want to say, like, experimenting with Wicca or a little like attempting to be paranormally in tune and things like that. And then you have all these right. like horny teenagers yeah, totally. Who are on drugs. I think that would attract, you know, a lot of,
if such a thing were to exist, right? that would right? be the thing that would attract it.
right.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you remember that, because that's always been in the back. Like, it was so strange that it's always been in the back of my head, even though, you know, there's a ton of acid memories that are weird and, you know, you don't know if it's right or whatever, it was sober.
That also, you know, it was talked so about boring. It after it happened. It was like, did you feel that? Did you see that? Did you feel that? And so that's what I remember
yeah.
a lot. So what I remember is I was having an argument with the guy I was dating, as I often did, I'm sure. Uh-huh. It was about that I wanted to leave because I was really pissed about the fire. And just like, this is not going to be fun. People are too loud. They're not doing acid right. Whatever. I am going to gatekey your experience. So I just remember like being like really pissy about that and coming back down and having that whole thing come through and then ending up being kind of scared. Yeah. And we did end up staying.
It was freaky.
It was freaky. Yeah, that was super fucking freaky. There were a lot of freaky things that happened in Logan Canyon.
Agreed. And I can't wait to tell some of those stories on our future episodes. I wish we could just keep telling them, but I was going to say, I was like, I'm looking at my wrist as if I have a watch on it. I was like, I want to just keep going forever and ever.
It's a super long bonus episode. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast.
Oh my God, you are such a pleasure.
Erica, can you just move in with us and live with us? Yeah. I miss you so
can we
much.
Do Golden Girls? That'd be great.
Can I bring my really handsome man and my 9-year-old?
He can be a pool boy and Charlotte can live with me.
Charlotte's best friend, Charlotte, would love to hang out with Charlotte.
Love Charlotte. She does have the best name. She's got the best name. And she's got a very nice disposition.
She does.
I'm not drunk.
Give me time. There's been a lot of drunk parenting during the COVID times.
It's not like there's a handbook that's going to tell you how to do it.
The fucking only one. I'm sorry. You know, I cannot be the only non-sober parent during this incredibly unprecedented moment of the 20th century.
We're going to have a new hashtag to add to this episode. It's going to be called Kick-Ass Parenting.
Oh,
by friends of bad Mormons.
By friends of bad Mormons.
By people who helped you be bad.
We helped each other, Erica.
It's contributing to everything that's awesome.
We helped each other, and there's nobody that I would rather call my best friend for life
my God.
Than you. So thank
I'm
you so
cry.
Much. I love you.
You made a drunk girl cry.
Don't cry. We have so many more episodes to do. Don't even cry.
So much. Thank you.
Listen, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you've enjoyed the stories that Erica and I have told you, because we only barely scratched the surface.
Like, subscribe, give us all the reviews.
Yeah, give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really goes a long way. It helps other people find us. Follow us on social media. And if you want any stickers, send us an email to fhebadmormons@gmail.com. We'll send you a vandalism starter pack to vandalize your town. Car.
I like your wording there.
That's
great.
And you've been listening to Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons.
Later, bitches.
Should we edit that?
Oh, non-Bad Mormons. People who have just heard words with Mormons. People who have only watched Mormons from a distance and said, you're in a cult.
You're like, wow. What's wrong with them?
That is fucked up.